The late writer, Dr. Fulston Orsler, used to tell about an old woman who used to take care of him when he was a child. This woman not only expressed her thanks, but she felt it. You see, Anna was a former American slave, and after emancipation, she was hired by his family and worked for them for many years. Fulton remembered her sitting at the kitchen table, her hands folded and her eyes gazing upward as she prayed, "Much obliged, Lord, for the victuals." Well, little Fulton asked her once, "What are victuals?" And she said, "They're the food and drink that I get to enjoy." And he told her, "Well, you're going to get food or drink whether you thank God for it or not." And Anna said, "Well, yes, we get our victuals, but it makes them taste better when we're thankful." She told him about an old preacher she'd met when she was a little girl who always taught her to be thankful. So as soon as she'd wake up each morning, she'd ask herself, "What's the first thing I can be thankful for today?" She's a really wise woman. Sometimes her early morning coffee would perking in the kitchen found its way to her room. And on those mornings, she'd start her day, "Much obliged, Lord, for the coffee. And much obliged, too, for the smell of it." He also gave her some examples of things to look for in what she called the thankful game. She told Fulton, "One day I was walking to the store to buy a loaf of bread. I looked in all the windows. There were so many pretty clothes. But Anna, you can't afford any of those." She said, "Oh, I know, but I can play dolls with them in my mind. I can imagine your mom and sister all dressed up in them, and I'm thankful. Much obliged, dear Lord, for playing in an old lady's mind." Well, today we're going to spend just a couple minutes in Colossians 3, and these three verses pack a punch. They can really turn your life upside down when it comes to thankfulness and gratitude. Lord, help us as we look into your word to grow and be challenged, to be grateful. May your word get in our head and flow out of our minds and our lips with gratefulness. You are a good God, and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, let me go ahead and read Colossians 3, 15 to 17. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." I hope you saw a few things in there. Verse 15 says, be thankful. Verse 16 mentions gratitude. In the ESV, it says thankfulness. Verse 17 says giving thanks. I'm thinking he's up to something. You know, that's profound. You know, in Colossians 3 earlier, he was talking about how when get your mind in heaven, and when you set your mind on things above, and you let the word of Christ dwell in your hearts, and you put off sin and put off Christ, what happens? A grateful heart. You realize how much God has done for you and what he is up to. Well, looking back at verse 15, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace." Well, notice, peace in the heart leads to praise on the lips. You know, Jesus told us in John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let you be afraid." It's amazing. When we have Christ's peace, it will infect everything we do. And it should flow out of our lives, and it should make a difference in how we interact with each other. God is called the God of peace. In Philippians 4, we're told, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And then the verse ends with, "And be thankful." Thankful for God's peace and thankful for all he does. In verse 16, let's look at that. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, again, with gratitude in your hearts to God." The word of God isn't supposed to just come to us, bounce around on our head, and sit and soak and sour. No. When God's word comes into us, it's to come out in three different ways: through teaching, admonishing, through singing. You know, now what's teaching? Well, it's the imparting of truth. It's communicating information about something we're to know or to believe. 2 + 2 = 4. A noun is a person, place, or thing. Jesus is God, and we should follow him. These are some things we should know. Admonishment is warning against error, and it could be belief or conduct. So it really, it's about saying, you know, you're going off track, you're going in a bad spot, turn around and head the other way. We need admonishment in lots of different areas. Don't put your hand on the hot stove. You know, don't play with fire. Stay out of the freeway. Drive the speed limit. Don't try to run that jerk off the road. You know, those are admonishment. Those are good, you know, good things where to do. And you know what singing is, remember? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Yeah, oh, I was thinking, oh, we need to sing that song again so you can jump in. Well, you know, it's interesting because growing up, I knew a couple men. They were much older. They were probably 50, 60 years old, maybe 70 years older than I was. They had a very special tie. You see, a much younger Don at the time worked for Al's dad. Al's dad was a building contractor, and Don was a hired hand. And Al's dad loved God, and he would go around humming hymns all day long or whistled while he worked or sometimes even sang the songs. Well, Don was the farthest thing from a Christian you'd ever want to meet. But the more time he spent around Al's dad working with him, he saw that not only did he sing about God, he actually lived for God. This transformed Don. Eventually, Don said, wow, this God is real. I want to know him. Don put his faith in Christ. His whole family turned to God. And then his wife, LaVon, was my Sunday school teacher for many years. Really a cool thing. Al's dad was singing songs, spiritual songs, while he did his work. Don responded to it. He told LaVon. LaVon came to faith. She talked to me. Now I'm talking to you. So maybe you can blame Al's dad, but never mind. But anyway, it was really amazing. It made a difference. You know, it's interesting if you go back in church history. In 112 AD, Pliny the Younger, he was the governor of Bithynia, he wrote a letter to Trajan, who was the emperor of Rome. And he said, I need some advice on how to handle these Christians. I've been interrogating them. I've been torturing them. And he wrote about some things they do. In fact, it was written, he observed the early Christians meet at dawn to sing a hymn to Christ as to a God. Or some say they meet to sing to Christ as God. Interesting, very early on, the emperor was here and the Christians are a singing people. You know, if you look through the scripture, there's a whole lot of songs in the Bible. In fact, there's a whole book, Psalms. And then if you look in the Gospels, there's the song of Mary, of Zechariah, the angels are singing, the Simeon, the crowds on Palm Sunday, Jesus and his disciples sang before they went to the garden. Think about that. Jesus knows what's about to happen, and he is still singing a hymn. There are songs in all kinds of Paul's letter, including a couple in Colossians. And then you get to Revelation. You've got the four living creatures, the 24 elders, the angels, the multitudes, the saints, all singing songs. Pretty amazing. You know, we could say a lot about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And what exactly are there? Well, some of them may be straight scripture. Some of them are scriptural concepts. But I think the main point he's making is sing songs. Sing scripture songs. Sing old songs. Sing new songs. Sing songs that God has written the lyrics to. Sing songs that people come up with. But sing to God. God gave us voices. And that's a really amazing thing. I know some of you say, well, no one wants to listen to me. Well, maybe no human does, but God does. Sing and make melody in your heart if that's what it takes. Let's sing with gratitude. And then getting to verse 17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. No matter what's going on, sing praise to God. Someone was traveling the Oregon Trail, and they wrote this in their diary. Before we do anything else, I think we should first thank God that we've come this far with no loss of life, with no serious trouble with the Indians, and that we have enough strength to finish our journey. You know, I don't know if they made it or not, but I have a feeling with a grateful heart and recognizing God had helped them, they probably did. And imagine they survived too, because their diary did. It's interesting, this Colossians passage is very similar to Ephesians 5, which says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music to your heart, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I like that fact, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Think about that. Before he went to heaven, he said, all authority has been given to me. You know, think about it. The authority of Jesus gets things done. If I go to the bank, my name carries authority. You know, if I say I want to get into the Michael and Kim Creech account, present my credentials, and they give me some cash if there's any left. You know, if Herman Hildegard shows up, wants to get into my account, they go, "Who are you?" And even if he's stolen my wallet and my ATM card, they know me, my face. Herman's not going to get in there. Jesus has been given all authority by God. Again, all authority on earth has been given to him. You know, I have to admit, I watched some of the debate, and I'm so glad the fate of the world doesn't hang on mere mortals. All authority is in God, and he's in control, and we can trust him. He knows what he's doing. What he says will go, and we can rest in him. You know, and it's amazing. We've been given authority in the name of Jesus to pray. Let's use the authority God gives us for his good. Keep in mind, even as Paul is writing this, he keeps talking about thankfulness in three verses. Where is he? He's in jail. He doesn't know if he's going to live or die. And yet he's, be thankful, have gratitude, give thanks. This is amazing. How can he do that? Because he knows that God is in control. He knows that God is absolutely dependable. God is always faithful. He has all authority. Caesar has some authority. His captors have some, but no, God is in complete control. And so go back to the notion of singing. You know, unhappy people don't usually sing. I mean, maybe they sing the blues, I guess. Or I don't know, did you ever learn the worm song at camp? Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat some worms. And we can keep on going. But I wouldn't exactly call that a worship and praise song. But, you know, we have reasons to sing to God because of what he's done. He's saved us. He's forgiven us. He's with us. He's not just up there. He's with us here. This is incredible. And Paul is going to say, you know, the Christian life isn't about a bunch of rules, though there are some things if we love and we'll obey Jesus, but it's about a relationship with him. He says, whatever you do or think, be in the tune with the Jesus way of doing and thinking and saying things. We have reason to give thanks. We've been given every spiritual blessing. We're told in Revelation 5, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and glory and honor and blessing. Jesus is worthy. Jesus is worth it. Well, let's go back to the story of Fulton Orsler and his nursemaid, Anna. Well, he grew up and he left home. When he was a young man, he received a message that Anna was dying. He made a point to go and see her again. And he returned home and he found her in bed with her hands folded over her white sheet, just as he'd seen them praying before. And he wondered, I wonder what she could possibly give thanks for now. And it was like she read his mind. She opened her eyes and she looked at the loving faces around her. She shut her eyes again and then she said, much obliged, Lord, for such fine friends. You know, she knew what it was like to be much obliged to the Lord. And she taught him a secret to be thankful. She didn't take anything for granted. She didn't demand, this is my due. She recognized we come into the world with nothing, we go out with nothing, and anything we have is a gift from God. You know, Anna was right. Let me encourage you. When life gets overwhelming with details and busyness and hard times and tribulations, let's find reasons to give thanks to God. Let's get God's word in our head and have it impact our heart, and it'll come out of our lips in thankfulness. You know, it's amazing how Al's dad had a contented, happy heart, and it transformed Don's life and led down to Yvonne and then to me and now to you. And so let me ask you, what are you thankful for? I encourage you, make a list of at least 10 things, the first thing that come to mind. And then start, you know, like Anna, wake up in the morning. Okay, Lord, what can I be thankful for? I can feel my right toe. If that's all it takes and all you can do, that's a good place to start. But pray her prayer, much obliged, Lord, much obliged. I tell you, if Christ's peace is ruling in your heart and the word of Christ is dwelling in your life, wisdom will flow out. And so will thankfulness and singing. Lord, help us to be a thankful people, to know you, to rejoice that you love us even though you know us, and God, to live with gratitude. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what you've done. And and Nancy and Chuck and so many others here. We give you thanks, for you truly are a good God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.